right into my heart. How he saw me was all that mattered, not how others saw me or even how I saw myself. I fell in love with Jesus because of his love for me without borders or measure. Worship changes everything. Why? It is rooted in our knowing in the very depths of our being how loved and cherished we are. We're not without mercy. We're not a nobody. We are God's somebody. Please don't miss this simple truth. Don't even listen on if you don't know how much you are loved. You won't find anything deeper or more profound within the words of this book. Fall in love with the one who created you, who knows you, every feeling, thought, and action, and loves you best. He's given you a name. You are somebody. His somebody. You are loved. A relationship. The idea that worship is mostly about a Sunday service really misses the breadth that worship is in our lives. As we sing songs of praise, open his word, gather together, and are refueled for service, as wonderful as that is, it is just the beginning when it comes to the heart of worship. Did you notice what he told his chosen people through Hosea? I don't want you to just show up for church and sing songs, give an offering, and bow your head for prayer. I want you to know me. I want you to love me. St. Augustine said, "To fall in love with God is the greatest of all romances. To seek him, the greatest adventure. To find him, the greatest human achievement." A King in Disguise. The 19th century philosopher Soren Kierkegaard wrote a parable to help us understand the incarnation, God coming to us in human form. It also explains how coming to us as a baby in the manger shows his desire for us to love him freely. Suppose there was a king who loved a humble maiden. The king was like no other king. Every statesman trembled before his power. No one dared breathe a word against him, for he had the strength to crush all opponents. And yet this mighty king was melted by love for a humble maiden who lived in a poor village in his kingdom. How could he declare his love for her? In an odd sort of way, his kingliness tied his hands. If he brought her to the palace and crowned her head with jewels and clothed her body in royal robes, she would surely not resist. No one dared resist him. But would she love him? She would say she loved him, of course. But would she truly? Or would she live with him in fear, nursing a private grief for the life she had left behind? Would she be happy at his side? How could he know for sure? If he rode to her forest cottage in his royal carriage with an armed escort waving bright banners, that too would overwhelm her. He did not want a cringing subject. He wanted a lover, an equal. He wanted her to forget that he was a king and she a humble maiden, and to let shared love cross the gulf between them. For it is only in love that the unequal can be made equal. The king, convinced he could not elevate the maiden without crushing her freedom, resolved to descend to her. Clothed as a beggar, he approached her cottage with a worn cloak fluttering loose about him. It was no mere disguise, but a new identity he took on. He renounced the throne to win her hand. That's exactly what God did when he sent his son to us. He told us, "I will not force you to love me. I want your love. But it must be freely given."